manifesto for an emancipative production of images. It is not possible not to see. The field of visual perception today is the most important space of production for ideologies, myths, and ideas. Aesthetic representations are open for ideological inputs, while image campaigns, films, and visual strategies are working to invade our perception or to mold it and to manipulate it. We therefore consider it important to strengthen the emancipative intentions of visual thinking processes, boys. The commercials continue even when radios and TV sets are turned off. The merchandised images produced by film, media, entertainment, and commercial industries have something in common. They make promises and set up terms. The promises are well known. In buying and consuming a product, the subject's lusts, fun, happiness, as well as his or her desires, drives, guilt, minority complexes, and hurt feelings, etc., shall become satisfied. The terms are even better known. To own a product, the subject must work, and the more urgent the desire, or the longer the satisfaction should last, minutes, a chocolate bar, months, an iPod, years, a car, the longer and harder the subject must work to attain those goods, and the longer real desires have to be harnessed to be able to transform and bind them into labor. Ha ha. Images are consumed. Images in large quantities are consumed via TV channels, movies, personal computers, and other media, and the responsible industries in their efforts to survey the human mind, reach perfection and virtuosity of manipulation to approximate the subject, that is, the consumer to the object, which is the product, and to create similarities between those two. The object, for example, appearing in form of an image, shall project itself onto the subject, and a similar process will happen to the subject. As a result, the consumer starts to perceive him or herself as a merchandise. Subject and object of consumption begin to resemble each other. Efforts to resist this process weaken continuously. Decisions turn out to be decisions of consumption, and the choice of certain products results in defining the individual, and thus issues of taste become existentially crucial. Subsequently, the consumer subject dissolves itself into merchandise. Destroyed love. The drives evoked by images cannot be compensated for by images. Product values boosted by images cannot fulfill the desire for an intensely loving sexuality and a creativity that means a self-reliant life. Never. The drive of destruction that, among other things, serves to destroy unbearable, degrading circumstances that generate humiliation and guilt, is pacified and satisfied by consumption. This circular course of boosting the needs that can be compensated for by goods with ever more needs into an approximate infinity, and to create more of that out of the source of subdued drives, transforms human beings into ever unsatisfied beings, thus raising the acceptability of unpleasant and annoying social demands, such as more disagreeable labor terms and more subordination. A suggestion for action. Every image potentially suggests action, and consensual options of representation thrust aside all alternatives. In this sense, the image functions as an ideological tool to support majority thought within the dominant order. As Marx states, the ideas of the ruling class are, in every epoch, the ruling ideas. The objectification of such thought becomes materially manifest in movies, photos, computer games, etc., and thus achieves a dimension of the real. The reality of everyday misery and the suffering evoked by it is muted by non-representation, imagelessness. Thus, the problem becomes inconceivable and appears to be irrevocable. Image production as a medium of ideology must not be underestimated, especially since its permanent presence in daily life, the easy access, and the replacement of reality facilitate the progressive internalization of convenient messages. Despite the illusionary superiority of consumers to commercial messages and the media in general, these industries are constantly recreating a usually unconscious and therefore uncontrollable fear to miss something important. Are you the solution or part of the problem? We wish to encourage an effort for a political emancipative approach towards image production that reaches beyond mere analysis. We thereby point towards the production of images, not in the sense of art, but in the sense of concrete, progressive, controversial, emancipative image policy intervening into the highly funded dominance of merchandised images. Commercial ads are not art either. Our concern is to rescue visual perception from being ubiquitously functionalized. The following requests are directed to persons who tackle the problem of image policy critically and in an emancipative context, or wish to do so in the future. For a social, political, emancipative image policy, the following requests appear essential to us. Number one, art as such cannot carry out the task of an emancipative image policy all by itself, since it is already available for diverse social functions, enlightenment, ketekolvitz, affirmation of totalitarian rule, Albert Speer, image and distinction surplus, Siemens art sponsoring, art collection of Deutsche Bank, refinement of taste, opening up of new perspectives of visual perception, neutralization of socially deviant subject positions, Charles Bukowski, Riot Grills, etc. It is a matter of taking emancipation into our own hands instead of saddling the task on art. Number two, requesting an image production that takes a pluralistic approach towards representational options that dissolves both in formal aspects and in aspects of contents cliches and role stereotypes, and finds ways of representing those aspects that are almost never represented, which means ruling out the blind rehearsals of repertoires of such as the drawn fist, the rebellious child, the picturing of flags or flag processions in public space, etc. Number three, opening up a communicative space to facilitate discussions and analysis beyond subjective and culturally performed dispositions of taste by ranking, for instance, the personal favorite color after clear assertion, raising the ability of communicative exchange in matters of representing and communicating images, depose the subject idolatry often found within informal hierarchies. Number four, assembling a toolbox containing tools of analysis as well as tools of production for purposes of emancipative image production. Recording and promoting successful image policy campaigns and strategies. For example, Guy Debord, Andy Warhol, Cindy Sherman. Number five, achieving autonomous image production by linking it to unexploitable contents, whereby the image content denies its convertibility into a merchandise. Number six, creating images, putting up ethical and categorical issues without presuming upon one's moral superiority in its mere postulation, since that would be unproductive and, after all, remains an ambiguous method. Number seven, envisioning corporate identity for political groups as a possibility for transparent representation of oneself and in finding oneself as a productive process towards enlarging self-knowledge, which may well lead to non-corporate identity. Number eight, using irony and self-criticism to lay open mechanisms of image production. Number nine, attacking the permanent presence of visual manipulation by conformist image production through the use of juristic measures and a broadened discussion on the totalizing subsumptions affected by commercial ads in public space and on television, actually reducing individual personal private freedom, that is visual terror. Number 10, visual information on the manipulative character and incredibility of images. On principle, we are convinced of the success that a social intervention in an emancipative campaign will obtain.